Welcome back to the News at Noon in Richland Center. Construction's going well at both Panorama Estates and Story Field. Dwayne Kleinsasser at Panorama says the concrete walls are in, underground plumbing is in progress, and things are going according to plan. Panorama 2, as this building is being called, will provide 46 new apartments. Dan Beinborn at Story Field says that project experienced weather-related delays but is now caught back up and proceeding well. Four foundations are now in place. That project will provide 8 duplexes for a total of 16 new homes. The Valley View Drive project in Richland Center is set to begin August 10th. There will be an informational meeting for neighborhood residents tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the intersection of Valley View Drive and Chestnut Street in Richland Center. The Richland County Board of Supervisors is scheduled to meet for its regular monthly session tonight at 6 p.m. The meeting will take place in the county boardroom on the third floor of the Richland County Courthouse. One of the primary items of business involves a resolution to create a specialized committee tasked with assisting in the formation of an Emergency Medical Services, or EMS, district. This initiative follows ongoing discussions regarding regional emergency response medical systems and efforts to ensure sustainable coverage for the area. In addition to public safety infrastructure, the board will consider a resolution to officially change the name of the Public Safety Standing Committee. Administrative updates are also central to the meeting, with supervisors set to vote on the creation of a new economic support lead position. The board is further tasked with confirming several key appointments, including a new ambulance service director and appointments for county supervisory districts and various boards and commissions. These leadership roles are vital for maintaining the continuity of county operations and public services. Legislative actions regarding county property and financial grants round out the agenda. Supervisors will review a resolution to transfer land and water conservation fund grants and property to the Richland School District. Other resolutions concern the 2026 computer and hazmat equipment grant, repairs to the Tri-County Airport roof, and the cancellation of stale tax certificates and county checks. Finally, the board will deliberate on several ordinances related to specific land parcels throughout the county, including parcels in the towns of Buena Vista, Ithaca, and Orion. The Richland School District Board of Education will hold its regular meeting Wednesday, July 22nd at 7 p.m. in the Richland Center High School IMC. The agenda for the evening includes a variety of financial, personnel, and policy matters. The board will review the business officials' report and consider the approval of the statement of cash and invoices. A significant portion of the meeting will focus on the consent agenda, which covers several donations from community partners, including the Medical College of Wisconsin and the Richland Foundation, as well as staffing updates such as resignations and new hires for the 2026-27 school year. The board will also address student academic standards, student handbook revisions, and open enrollment requests. In addition to consent items, the board will discuss district vacancies and appointments for the upcoming school year and receive an update on referendum projects. Action items include policy revisions, a resolution regarding the purchasing of campus property, and the assumption of the LWCF grant, and decisions concerning the referendum budget and change events. Richland Center's Plan Commission is scheduled to convene Wednesday, July 22nd, to address two significant agenda items: the proposed conveyance of city-owned property at 929 West Seminary Street to Lydia's House Ministries, and a proposed amendment to the Municipal Code concerning electronic message center signs on public property. Regarding the Seminary Street property, the city aims to finalize the transfer of the site, which has been utilized by Lydia's House Ministries for transitional housing since 2014. The property has a long history of residential service use dating back to the 1980s, and staff have indicated that the transitional housing operation qualifies as a legal non-conforming use, meaning no additional zoning changes are required. The Plan Commission must now provide its formal consideration and report to the Common Council to fulfill the referral requirement for the change of use of public grounds. The Commission will also review a proposed ordinance amendment to Chapter 485, which seeks to authorize the installation of electronic message center signs on public property. Currently, the city code lacks a clear authorization for these types of signs in residential zoning districts, creating a regulatory hurdle for the Brewer Public Library, which is interested in installing a sign similar to the one already operating at the Richland Center Community Center. The proposed amendment would permit one electronic message center sign per lot on public property owned by the city, county, state, federal government, school districts, or public libraries. To mitigate concerns, the ordinance establishes strict performance standards, including an aggregate area cap of 75 square feet, a 12-foot height limit, specific luminance restrictions, and a 50-foot buffer from residential dwellings. Furthermore, signs in residential districts would be required to power down their electronic displays between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. The Richland County Performing Arts Council is set to host the Betty Hayes Baxter Legacy Stage Dedication Ceremony at the historic City Auditorium in Richland Center. This event will take place Sunday, August 23rd from 2 p.m. until 3:30 p.m. Admission is free and the event is open to the public. All donations made during the ceremony are tax deductible, and these funds will be used to update and renovate the stage. The Riverdale FFA alumni proudly presents Dairyland Donkey Ball in Muscadet. This exciting event provides an evening of family-friendly fun as teams face off in the one-of-a-kind sport of donkey baseball. The action takes place Sunday, August 16th, starting at 6 p.m. at JC Park. Attendees can look forward to a lively atmosphere filled with friendly competition and community spirit. Refreshments and food will be available at the concession stands. Guests are encouraged to bring their lawn chairs and blankets to enjoy the show. Tickets are currently available for $10 in pre-sale or can be purchased at the gate for $15. Viroqua Fire Chief Chad Burris reports the Viroqua Fire Department responded to a report of a structure fire at E7414 Monson Road in the town of Franklin. Dispatchers sent units to the scene where crews arrived to find a detached garage heavily engulfed in smoke and flames. Firefighters worked quickly to bring the blaze under control, successfully extinguishing the fire before it could spread further. While the garage sustained major damage from the heat and flames, there were no reported injuries to either civilians or the responding firefighters. The Viroqua Fire Department was assisted on the scene by several agencies, including the Westby and Viola Fire Departments, the Vernon County Sheriff's Office, Tri-State Ambulance, and Vernon Electric. According to Chief Burris, the exact origin and cause of the fire remains under investigation. A La Crosse man faces multiple charges following a disturbance in the village of Woodman on Saturday. At approximately 8 p.m., the Grant County Sheriff's Office responded to reports of a physical fight occurring on Jervis Street. Upon arrival, deputies took 28-year-old Angel Narvaez into custody. Narvaez was subsequently transported to the Grant County Jail and booked on 4 counts of battery and 5 counts of disorderly conduct. Authorities noted that alcohol is believed to have been a contributing factor in the incident. Narvaez appeared in court on Monday and was later released on a signature bond. Southwest Wisconsin Technical College has completed a significant renovation of its child care center, investing more than $100,000 in new furniture, toys, and educational materials. This major transformation marks the first comprehensive update to the center's equipment in over 3 decades, replacing aging fixtures with modern items specifically designed to enhance child learning and facilitate hands-on training for students in the early childhood education program. The redesign of the classrooms focuses on meeting state environmental rating standards by creating dedicated learning zones. These newly defined spaces for science, math, art, and dramatic play encourage exploration and developmental growth. Furthermore, these physical changes support curriculum updates introduced this fall, creating a stronger connection between classroom activities and the early childhood education academic program to provide more meaningful field experiences for Southwest Tech students. Functioning as both a licensed childcare facility and a specialized learning laboratory, the center aims to align its educational environment so that students and teachers are working from the same playbook. This investment is a key component of the center's goal to elevate its quality standing. Currently holding a 4-star rating, the center is leveraging these enhancements to pursue a 5-star Young Star rating, the highest quality designation in Wisconsin, during its next evaluation cycle in 2027. When booking a hotel room while traveling or for an event, many consumers like to book online. Booking online is convenient, but be cautious when doing so. Michelle Reinen is with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
The other thing that happened with this consumer in this situation is the problem didn't stop with that original booking. After they discovered that this reservation didn't go through and there were no additional vacancies, they managed to find an available room on a third-party booking website. So the consumer booked and paid for that room, but later they were charged an additional $200. And that is because they had not unchecked a small box on the third-party site's payment page. And so this is a negative option billing situation. That box was for an optional refund protection fee, but because it was checked by default, the consumer just didn't notice it and they didn't opt out to avoid being charged that extra amount. So when you're on these sites, you really have to pay attention to these negative option billings or these dark patterns where boxes are pre-checked for us and really look at the details closely so you know what you are agreeing to and maybe paying for. The other thing that happened with this consumer in this situation is the problem didn't stop with that original booking. After they discovered that this reservation didn't go through and there were no additional vacancies, they managed to find an available room on a third-party booking website. So the consumer booked and paid for that room, but later they were charged an additional $200. And that is because they had not unchecked a small box on the third-party site's payment page. And so this is a negative option billing situation. That box was for an optional refund protection fee, but because it was checked by default, the consumer just didn't notice it and they didn't opt out to avoid being charged that extra amount. So when you're on these sites, you really have to pay attention to these negative option billings or these dark patterns where boxes are pre-checked for us and really look at the details closely so you know what you are agreeing to and maybe paying for.
As prediction markets and online gambling platforms continue to gain traction, the Wisconsin Elections Commission has issued a stark warning to voters regarding the legal ramifications of wagering on election outcomes. Administrator Megan Wolf emphasized that while the commission cannot police the platforms themselves, Wisconsin law prohibits individuals from casting a ballot in an election if they have placed a bet on its result. This restriction, rooted in Wisconsin Statute 6.032, disqualifies any elector who has a direct or indirect interest in a wager depending on the result of that specific election. The consequences for ignoring these statutes are severe, as intentionally voting without qualification is classified as a Class I felony under Wisconsin statute. Voters who participate in these markets risk administrative challenges to their qualifications, which could not only prevent them from voting, but also lead to criminal referrals to the district attorney. This hardline stance was underscored earlier this month when the bipartisan commission unanimously approved a formal memo during its July 9th meeting to outline these legal concerns and the potential for voter disqualification. The rise of these platforms has triggered regulatory responses beyond just voter eligibility. In Wisconsin, Governor Tony Evers recently signed Executive Order 294, which prohibits state executive branch employees from using non-public information to profit from prediction markets. On a national level, although comprehensive federal regulation is still pending, with the introduction of the Stop Trading on Predictions Corrupt Bets Act of 2026, many states have already taken action. Currently, Wisconsin is among 23 states with laws prohibiting election wagering, reflecting a growing consensus on protecting the integrity of the democratic process from the influence of financial speculation. Governor Tony Evers recently announced that over 23,400 Wisconsin State Park passes have been purchased by residents while they simultaneously renewed their annual vehicle registrations online. This achievement stems from a new cross-agency partnership launched last month between the Wisconsin Department of Transportation's Division of Motor Vehicles and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. By allowing Wisconsinites to purchase their 12-month state park and forest vehicle admission pass during the registration renewal process, the state has streamlined services, improved government efficiency, and generated consistent revenue. The success of this initiative is significant, as the 23,400 passes sold through the DMV website represent 17% of the total passes sold this year. This figure also reflects a doubling of online sales since the program began in June. Governor Evers highlighted that this effort is part of a broader 8-year commitment to making government work better for the people of Wisconsin by reducing red tape and simplifying access to state services. Governor Evers expressed his enthusiasm for the program's quick adoption, noting that 20,000 residents utilized the new option within the first month alone. He emphasized that this convenience not only benefits Wisconsinites, but also provides crucial support for the state's natural resources. Each pass purchase acts as an investment in protecting and maintaining state parks for future generations, while the associated vehicle registration renewals contribute directly to road infrastructure projects, creating a multifaceted benefit for the state. The bipartisan Defending Against Imitations and Replacements of Yogurt, Milk, and Cheese to Promote Regular Intake of Dairy Every Day Act, known as the Dairy Pride Act of 2025, has been introduced to address the growing issue of mislabeled non-dairy products. Introduced by U.S. Senators Tammy Baldwin, Jim Risch, Susan Collins, and Peter Welch, the legislation aims to ensure that terms like milk, yogurt, and cheese are reserved exclusively for products derived from animals as originally intended by food standards. The primary purpose of the act is to eliminate consumer confusion regarding the nutritional differences between real dairy and plant-based alternatives while protecting the livelihoods of dairy farmers who meet rigorous health and quality standards. The urgency of this act stems from significant concerns regarding the Food and Drug Administration's current labeling guidance. Although existing regulations define dairy as animal-derived, recent FDA guidance has allowed plant-based imitations made from nuts, grains, or plants to continue using dairy nomenclature. Proponents of the bill argue that this lack of enforcement undermines public health, as many imitation products are nutritionally inferior to real dairy. Medical organizations have noted that mislabeling can lead to nutritional deficiencies, particularly in children who may be given plant-based beverages under the false impression that they offer the same protein and vitamin profile as cow's milk. Widespread support for the Dairy Pride Act comes from a diverse coalition of dairy and agricultural organizations. Groups such as the National Milk Producers Federation, the American Farm Bureau Federation, and the Wisconsin Cheesemaker Association have voiced their approval, emphasizing that the act will restore transparency to the marketplace. These organizations contend that while dairy substitutes have a place for those with specific dietary preferences, they should not be permitted to ride the coattails of dairy's established nutritional reputation. By requiring the FDA to enforce nationwide standards within 90 days of enactment, the act seeks to hold the agency accountable and ensure that consumers can make fully informed choices for their families. Governor Evers is challenging the Trump administration's recent mandates requiring aging coal power plants to remain operational. This federal directive, which invokes Section 202C of the Federal Power Act, is forcing the continued use of inefficient plants in the region, including the J.H. Campbell facility in Michigan, the R.M. Schaffer and F.B. Cully stations in Indiana. Evers argues that these orders impose significant financial burdens on Wisconsin families, with an estimated $117 million in increased costs for state ratepayers. These power plants had previously undergone analysis that deemed them economically unviable and ready for retirement. The governor emphasizes that there is no such thing as clean coal and contends that the administration's interference obstructs the state's progress toward a clean energy economy. Evers remains committed to Wisconsin's clean energy plan, which focuses on sustainability, job creation, and reducing utility costs for residents. He's calling on the Department of Energy to allow the current orders to expire and stop future interventions, urging a shift toward cost-effective, sustainable energy solutions that align with the state's long-term economic and environmental goals. A bipartisan group of senators led by Senator Tammy Baldwin and Senator Angus King of Maine has issued a formal demand for immediate investigations and structural reforms following two recent fatal shootings involving U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents in Maine and Texas. The senator's letter to Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mullen characterizes the deaths as entirely unacceptable, noting that the victims were not the intended targets in these enforcement actions. The lawmakers contend that these incidents have severely fractured public trust and highlighted a dangerous lack of transparency within the agency. They are calling for independent and thorough investigations into the shootings and are urging the department to finally fulfill its longstanding yet unmet commitments to equip all ICE field officers with body-worn cameras. According to the senators, despite previous assurances and available funding, the agency has failed to prioritize this essential safety and accountability measure.